and get this show started. He's a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, a first-round NFL draft choice, and a member of the College Football Hall of Fame as both a player and coach. He is the head ball coach, Steve Spurrier. He's a rare two-time SEC Player of the Year and spent over a decade in the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, Shane Matthews. Presenting the host of the show with over 25 years of sports broadcasting experience, Terry Norvell. Coming to you from the College Sports Today studio, it's time for College Sports Today with Spurrier, Matthews, and Norvell.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to our show. We call it College Sports Today. Shane Matthews, Terry Norvell, Coach Spurrier, probably 20, 25 minutes away. He's tied up taking care of some business. But, Shane, we hope to have Coach on giving us his opinion on stuff, including 50 days from college football today. We're 50 days away. Ready?
It's hard to believe. It's right around the corner.
It drags, doesn't it? And then all of a sudden, SEC Media Days a week from Monday.
Are you going?
No, we're doing some work. You went, right?
I've been as a player.
As a player, yeah. Was it a long, taxing day for a player?
Terry, that was so long ago. Yeah. I don't remember.
Yeah. Interesting, though, we've had a little bit of fun. We got a lot to cover. We want to talk about week one, basically, of the NIL. It's 1 week old. We'll talk about where it went. It's strange. It's real strange. Speaking of the NIL, and speaking of a massive event like SEC Media Days, my goodness. Now, if you're a player, you want to go and get in front of 500 cameras and 1,000 microphones, right?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, I would think so. But, I haven't really followed. I mean, I followed it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess, have you followed it quite a bit?
The NIL, a little bit. There's been more action than I thought.
Really?
There's been more. And I guess the biggest thing is the – MMA gymnasium out of the Miami area wanting to sponsor the whole team out of $500 a month or something.
He's a Miami Hurricane. Yeah. That's why.
Yeah.
I personally think I thought there would have been a lot more. I think there's mm-hmm. been less than.
I got you.
Now, I mean, you know, there's the $10 and the $20 for signing autographs.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about
BBS. It'll be interesting to see how the NIL plays out. Obviously, we're 1 week in, Shane. It's going to take a year or two to start getting some data, I think. It's all fresh. It's all new. The first thing is ROI, return on investment, right? I mean, these businesses, it may be a neat thing to sit around and talk to your buddy and say, hey, I'm sponsoring this player or this side of the ball or something. It's going to come down to return on investment. If these guys aren't making money, they're not going to keep spending the money, right?
Yeah. So I would ask you, Terry, if you had a prominent business, whether it was a restaurant company or whatever, is there anybody out there that would catch your eye?
Location-wise, I would look around and see if there is anybody that dynamic. Location, where's my restaurant?
Yeah,
is it regional, local, national?
Let's just use the entire state of Florida. Let's say you had restaurants or your business covered the entire state.
Yeah.
I don't think there's one player in the state of Florida
that
would be a standout to throw
that resonates.
Right. I mean,
Tim Tebow would have resonated.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Welch, hell, two-time SEC player of the year, Shane Matthews, your second go around. But to resonate. And that's the rub. It's still going to come down to ROI, return on investment. It's interesting. It's strange. And there have been a couple of big ones. Kayvon Thibodeau, maybe the number one pick, the defensive end out of Oregon. It's a beast. He signs a monster deal through Nike.
He did?
Yeah, a monster deal. There's some other weird things that it's just going to have to play out, and I don't know how it's going to play for the fan. Did you see strange bedfellows? De'Arik King, quarterback Miami, Mackenzie Milton, prospective starting quarterback FSU, they have kind of partnered up on a deal together. And I know for a fact, and Shane, you can speak to this from your years in NFL, I know for a fact – one thing that pisses NFL fans off is when that gun goes off at the fourth quarter, game's over, and I've heard a million fans say, I hate when our player is shaking hands and giggling and playing with the Packer guy and the Bear guy, right? They hate that. King and Milton are business partners. It's strange, Shane. I keep getting into these quasi arguments out and about. People ask me about it. My first answer when everybody asks me, Terry, what do you think about this new thing in college sports? I say, well, I'm worried. It worries me. People jump to the conclusion that I'm against it. I'm not against it. I'm worried that it's going to spin off and hurt college athletics. Isn't this going to also take money away from the programs? Like that guy that's ponying up $540,000 a year at $500 a pop. He's a big Miami guy. He probably was giving the university some money. He's probably not going to do both.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I still have a hard time believing there's going to be a lot of huge deals out there.
Yeah.
Until you actually do something. You know, I was thinking the other day, who I would have if I had a national company. And I honestly think the only guy that jumped out to me is Spencer Rattler.
Rattler.
The name, his logo is very cool.
Yeah.
But he's a damn good player. And he's, you know, most people have him as the number one team in America.
Yeah.
But still, I don't even know what kind of money. He signed a deal with Raising Cane's, but so did Miles Brennan and one other kid from Ohio State.
Right.
But we never hear what they signed for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it could be, okay, you, every time you come in, you got a free meal for you and four other players.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know what the deal is.
It was really interesting.
You said the big deal that the Oregon guy got. What did he get?
I don't have it. Somebody may have it.
You're talking a couple. The biggest deal I've seen was the $2 million for the Tennessee State football player, whose dad is Master P.
Whose dad is Master P.
I think that's all.
I think Thibodeau, and if somebody wants to look it up, he got a big deal. He got a big deal.
And I never even heard of him.
And maybe going to be a great player, five-star great player, maybe the first pick in the draft. It'll be interesting, though. 2 or 3 years into this, we're not going to really know. I will say this, though. Part of the worry I have, at some point, with money going around like it is, aren't a lot of players going to say, let's get rid of the student part? The student part is going to be, I think, in the crosshairs pretty soon.
There's several things. A, the locker room bothers me because I think guys are going to get jealous and get pissed off. The second thing, exactly what you said. Because if you follow a lot of athletes on Twitter, they're reaching out, you know, direct message me. Okay. Is that gonna take away, as you said, from their classwork? Or, you know, first of all, you know, when people talk about, let's use the University of Florida, my school, we're a top five academic school in America. Not one kid that comes here on their visit gives a damn about that. They don't.
I totally agree with you.
They don't.
I totally agree with you.
And if anybody wants to comment and argue with me, you can argue with me because they don't. Their goal is whatever school they're going to, what can I do in the next 3 years to get to the league? And there's only a small percentage of people that get to the league, but everybody thinks they're going to.
Yeah.
They are not concerned about the top five academic school in America.
Also, and I don't want to be Chicken Little here, and the sky's falling down. I just want to look at this thing from different sides. Right now, we're a little over a week in, and quite a few players have put some cash in their pocket. There are going to be issues. There are issues in life. There are issues in business. This is business. There are going to be issues. There are going to be situations where, the business that's cut deals with players might be late on payments. They may go out of business. They may be struggling. They may be paying payroll first, right? What happens if a player is in a heated battle with his account, right? What if a player's in a battle with it? And sure, there could be things signed. There could be things not signed. We know how litigation goes. What happens if a player is hasn't been paid.
Doesn't get paid.
And he says, wait a minute, my recourse is I'm holding out.
Or
I'm not playing.
Or, you know, mom and dad back home are living with grandma or whatever. You pay them up front and then the company doesn't pay you. And then how do you perform on Saturday? Yeah.
But what's coming, two things are coming that really worry me. And I'm for it, but I'm worried about unintended consequences. I always say that. A couple things that just worry the heck out of me. I think the student part is going to be kind of – I think the players are going to go, we're pro players. We're pro players at a level down here, trying to get to the level up there. School, I'm not going there. And you know it's coming. It's been whispered a little bit. the players are going to say, we want the programs that are raking in the money. We want them. They should pay us every week. A steady income. That's what's coming. And then they're going to unionize to get that. And when you do that, they're pro athletes. And I don't know if – I just don't know if the universities let me back up another thing, Shane. The other thing I think fans – and help me out with this. I think fans are totally misguided on – they see football powerhouses bringing in gobs of money, the Power Five. That money is coming from football. That is a huge chunk of money. The SEC strokes, what, $40 million a school or whatever it was, 24, whatever it was, Shane? Okay. That's where the fan goes. They make so much blankety-blank money, they've got to share it. Most of the programs, if you look at a P&L, are not making money. They've got to pay 20 sports, 21 sports. Do you think the fan understands that? I don't think the fan understands. Of 130 Division I college football programs, 20 are making money. Profiting. You go, Terry, how is that? We just saw the headline that said SEC strokes individual checks to 14 schools at $35 million. That's a lot of money. But their athletic budget to run all 20 sports is $78 million, Jane. So there's not – I don't know. I don't – it worries me.
Yeah, I mean –
it worries me.
I think, you know, like I said, we're a little over a week into this thing. And
yeah.
I get the feeling, you know, I just sometimes lay in bed at night and kind of look through Twitter. And,
yeah.
And whether I follow athletes, it gets retweeted somehow and it pops up on my feed.
Sure.
And just not that they're not directly saying it, but it's almost, I feel like some of them are disappointed in what's happened so far.
Early, just for early.
That okay. They haven't gotten any deals or not what they thought they were going to get.
Interesting.
And I could be 100% wrong, but that's just the feeling I get on some of
interesting. Interesting. If the student part goes away, and I want your opinion on this, and even you folks, you can drop us a Facebook Live comment. I think at some point soon, the why are we even playing in class is coming up, the student part. Now, if that gets wiped away, will the fan care enough about the logo on the helmet? They'll say, I still want the logo says Vols to beat the logo that says Gators, even though I know, A, they're pro athletes and they don't even go to school.
Well,
is the draw that big enough for the – is that logo powerful enough for the fan when they – 2-3 years from now, we go, this is just minor league pro sports.
Mm-hmm. What? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. But we are 50 days from college football. You know,
here's what I would like to know. How many, and like I said, it's early, but do you think, let's just use Florida and Miami, for example. Do you think the players, when they're sitting around the locker room, are going, damn, Miami just had a booster, or can't be a booster.
Yeah, I mean,
just take care of every player on the team.
They have to be.
Right. They're like, okay, well, maybe I should have gone to Miami.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean, no, the Thibodeau, the kid from Oregon, no coincidence, Nike is right outside their front door, you know, Phil Knight and Nike. It's got a long way to go. It's got a long way to go. I want to get some different topics. We think Coach Spurrier is going to stop by in about 15 or 20 minutes to take us up to the top of the hour. 50 days until the start of college football. Won't spend much time with this, but I'll tell you one thing. There's five or six games that day. That's Saturday, August 28th is the start. 50 days from now, five or six games. The game to pay attention, there's pressure. Nebraska is at Illinois. Brand new coach, Brett Bielema. Illinois is kind of rebuilding. That's a 1 o'clock game on Fox. The first Saturday, everybody's watching. Nebraska has to go win that game and look good, don't they? He cannot stumble right out of the gate, right?
Well, they have a new athletic director there as well.
Yeah, yeah. But, man, I tell you, everybody's watching that first game, Nebraska. Illinois, again, is revamping. What do you think of Bielema? I think I've asked you. I think Brett Bielema can coach.
I think he's a really good coach. I don't like his style of play.
I agree.
But he's good at what he does.
I agree. I agree. So 50 days. We're kind of in that what I call – I always call it every year. I call it the hold your breath season. If you're the coaches, the coaching staff, this is that weird time. Practice starts, what, in three and a half weeks. There's not a lot going on. Grades, fluke injuries, getting in trouble. And then what did you make of this? wasn't it just an erroneous story on Brenton Cox? What was the story on this? He's hurt. He's going to miss games, according to a Georgia reporter.
A Georgia reporter said he had a broken ankle or leg or something on a scooter accident, but
and it got legs. No pun intended. Oh, it took off.
It did, but apparently that's not the case. Okay. He did have some type of surgery, I believe.
Was in a walking boot, but out of it or something, yeah. And fine. But man, that thing took legs. But you know, this is the time though. Every year, I call it that hold your breath season. Man, I couldn't imagine being the coaches right now.
Well, and it's different than the NFL. The NFL, yeah. You have time off before your training camp. They're still working out on a daily basis.
Right, yeah, now. Yeah. It just seems like the crazy scooter accident happens. The got in trouble at a bar happens. This is that, you know, I guess, and walk us through, Shane, three and a half weeks from now, early August, first, you know, August 10th-ish or so, you start, and then your time is taken, right? I mean, you don't have a whole lot of time.
I mean, they're
school hadn't started, but I mean, you're tired.
They're all in school right now. They're all in
summer school. Yeah.
Yeah. So they have their summer school. They have their meetings. They have their workouts, and it's really not any different than the regular season. You're just not having official football practice.
Gotcha.
Guys are still going out.
Yeah.
In the season,
yeah.
Or now.
But hopefully they're beat up a little bit, tired a little bit. They're not going as much. But no, are they still?
No, still going?
Yeah, they're still going. A bit of a sad story. I wanted to get this out, and I want to ask Coach Spurrier about this if he comes in a few minutes. Sad to see Terry Donahue passed away.
I didn't even know he was sick.
Yeah, nor did I. 77 years old, Terry Donahue. Real nice career at UCLA, 76 through 95, and then he went right into broadcasting, and then he went 2 or 3 years. I thought he was good. I don't know if you remember him. I thought he was good as an analyst. Mm-hmm. He was good, and then he went to the 49ers front office. And was with them, but man, I really enjoy. I actually like his style, and he fit UCLA, didn't he? He was a good football coach. They were good. They won 3 Rose Bowls. He fit the style. He was good looking, California. But do you recall him much as an analyst?
Oh yeah, I thought he was very good.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people probably relate to him more as an analyst than they do a coach.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then he went to the. Then he went to the 49ers and did the front office. But I always enjoyed his work. And he popped up. He was the lead analyst for CBS 96, 97, 98. So, I mean, prime years. Florida's winning the national title. He's right in the middle of the CBS, obviously, SEC. So he's doing Florida national title. He's doing Tennessee national title. He was there for that 3-year run, which was part of that golden era. Right, the 90s. Dick Vermeil was out there, right? Dick Vermeil was UCLA years ago.
Did he coach there?
I think he was. Was he at UCLA?
I'm not sure.
I think he might have been in the 70s, but I really, really enjoyed Terry Donahue. Hate to see him pass. He was 77. You told me something 5 minutes before we went on the air, and I wanted to get out. All the magazines are out. I've bought like one. They've gotten out of control. You said Phil Steele's magazine is out, and it's a good magazine. It's loaded with information. It's $20. I'm going to pass on it. But he had Florida where?
27.
27. Mm-hmm. Did you read any synopsis?
I don't have the magazine. I just saw it on Twitter. And, you got Cincinnati's and North Carolina's, Indiana, all kinds of teams ranked ahead of Florida. And, you know, there was I think Heather Dinich had a thing come out.
National writer and more of an ACC, but national.
Yeah, she didn't have Florida in the top 25 either.
Amazing. What I know you can't get in their head, but what would make you – what you saw from Florida, what you know of Dan Mullen, I don't think they're going to be worse on defense. And I think Dan Mullen will always move the football.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is you look at the percentage of player of their entire offense lost, Tony Pitts and Trask. Defensively, they weren't very good. And if the two transfers don't play great
– in the middle.
Boy.
The DTs,
they're crucial.
The DTs in the middle. I hear you. Some of those are valid points. Star power gone. Dan Mullen has done star power gone, have to replace. He's done that. That movie's been written a bunch. Now, I'm not saying it's easy. I'm definitely not saying it's easy. But Dan Mullen, if anybody in the nation has had to replug in star power at receiver and quarterback, it's been Dan Mullen.
I think the key to the entire season on offense, Emery's got to complete all the easy throws.
Well said.
You know what I'm saying?
Well said.
When a guy's open and you got to hit him in stride, you got to hit him in stride. But if we miss those easy throws, it can be a long year.
Yeah. I had a nice discussion about Florida with a guy the other day, and he went, well, they lose these guys on offense. Obviously, we know Pitts, Tony, among all of them. Well, think about it. They put 44 on Georgia. Pitt had two catches. One was a touchdown and played a quarter and a half. Tony had 42 total yards and was no factor in the game. He caught two-yard guts. They put 44 on Georgia without pitcher Tony, basically. Without pitcher Tony. I think Florida's going to be real good. I think Florida's going to be real good. I love the way Emory Jones will be handed that job. I also asked the same guy, Shane. I'll throw this your way. He has trepidations with Emory Jones. He goes, I don't know about Emory Jones. And I asked him, I go, tell me with Emory Jones what you saw with your eyeballs that would make you go, wow, I don't know. I didn't see anything negative that would make me go, wow, this guy, he says, I don't know. I said, well, tell me more. Say more than I don't know. Well, when he came in, I said, well, what did you see that you didn't like? And he couldn't fill in the blank.
No, I here's the thing about Emory. Emory has a lot of talent. He's got a really good, strong arm. I get concerned sometimes when the guys don't understand the different speed of throws.
Pace of, okay.
Yeah, you got to know all the different pitches there. But yeah, he's a violent runner. I mean, he's an extremely good runner. And it's like I said, I haven't seen anything that makes me feel like he can't play the position. Yeah. I don't agree with that at all. I just want him to complete the easy throws.
And I know,
you know, when we got a slant wide open, don't throw it 100 miles an hour. It goes off the guy's shoulder pass. Throw it when you catch it.
You know? Have you seen a lot of that from him?
I see
fastball when it should be.
I see that from guys that aren't pure, you know, when you say pure passer, they don't understand the different trajectories and the different throws. I haven't seen enough of him. I just know how guys that have these big, strong arms, they're so used to going to the 707s and trying to show off
the arm strength. Yeah.
The object, there's one object of playing quarterback, throw completions. If you can't throw completions, you can't play.
I like it.
I mean, it's simple.
I like it. The things that I have witnessed with my eyeballs that I love about Emory Jones, number one, his physicalness. I mean, he's athletic as heck. And I know the measurables and all aren't, they don't get you in the end zone. I'd rather have somebody athletic as heck than not athletic as heck if I had my druthers. I love the fact that he's been in this system. He's old by college standards. He's old. He's 21. He's been in this system old. He hadn't bounced around. And I know, you know, some guys have bounced around and when they like, it works. But he's physical, he's mature and old in the system, knows the offense, and I love the fact, I think people realize, Emory Jones has led touchdown drives, thrown a touchdown pass or two at night in Baton Rouge when they needed it. Not mop-up. Emory Jones has led scoring drives when Trask had a knee tweaked near halftime of an intense Auburn game. He's led a score to go get a field. They needed that field goal. He's led drives against Georgia. He's quarterbacked against Oklahoma and Alabama. I mean, Tennessee, LSU, nothing's going to be wide-eyed. I love that. He's thrown almost 100 passes, and he's had almost 100 rushes. I'm bullish on that. I think he's going to be really good. He's going to do it different. He's going to do it a lot different. He's not going to pass for 4,000 yards like Trask. But do you care if he throws for 27 and runs for 7 or 8 and it frees up your backs?
Yeah.
I think Florida's going to be good. You make a good point. Who is it? Shelton and Newkirk, the DTs that Florida brought in. Let's spin off before we take a break here, just bounce around some topics. I had a list today. I was just messing around. Teams just scattered around, two or three teams that just intrigue me. Okay, I'll throw some to you, and if you can think of some. Teams that intrigue me. Number one, no order. Ole Miss intrigues me. I know that Kiffin, through JUCO guys and the portal, he's obviously went out and trying his best to get some defense. That's what intrigues me. They're going to move the ball, right? Ole Miss intrigues me if they plug in some defense.
Yeah, but they're probably going to win 5 games.
Yeah, because they look way away on defense.
Yeah, my thoughts are Ole Miss – even as much as I think Lane is a tremendous coach and they're fun to watch, it doesn't matter how long he's going to be there. They're going to win 5 or 6 games.
Yeah.
Most because of where they
play. Because Ole Miss.
Well, it's
– Ole Miss, West.
Yeah, I mean, you put them in the East, they may be a little – they may have a little better record. But, and also, I want to see Lane coach against one of the big boys in the West in a close game.
In a real game.
Where he has to make some decisions.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy – to always go for it on 4th and 5.
In a real game.
In
a real game. Missouri intrigues me. North Carolina, the great quarterback. I love him. They lost a lot of players. I want to see what North Carolina does. You know, intrigues me. We'll take a break real quick and get Coach Spurrier on for a few minutes. Cincinnati, this is the year. They've got back-to-back at Indiana, at Notre Dame. Cincinnati's carrying that group of five flag.
Well, the Phil Steele guy has them ranked 10.
Is that right? Is that right? Did that stun you when you read that he had him 27th, Florida?
Yeah, because when I saw all the teams in front of us, like Indiana Hoosiers and North Carolina.
Stunned the heck out of me when you just told me that.
Washington Huskies. I mean, I could pull it up. Penn State.
Have you, and I'll ask you.
Had,
and
okay, I do remember this because I talked about it on my show this morning. He had two Sun Belt teams in the top 25.
Me.
Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, and
they're
the Clears of Coastal Carolina.
And Coastal Carolina, the Darlings of last year. And then,
do you think those two teams are better than Florida?
You stunned me when you said, I'm bullish on Florida. I think Florida's going to be real good. We're probably a week or two away. I'm going to ask you and Coach Spurrier to do this down the road. We probably need to throw out our top four. Who we think would be our college football playoff top four?
I got my four already.
Throw them.
No, well, I'll save it till we all do it. Yeah.
And have you broke it down to the national title winner?
No, you just asked the question.
Yeah, I mean,
I just have four teams pop in my head that I think will be there.
Lay it on us.
Oklahoma, Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson.
Gotcha.
Same guys.
I got you.
Until somebody beats those teams.
I've got my four. Should I lay it on you and we'll
go ahead. I mean, we can change it.
Oklahoma. I love Texas A&M.
Yeah, I can see them. Yeah.
Clemson, because of the schedule, I think they're going to be good. And I think USC is going to be good. I like Southern Cal.
I like their quarterback.
They don't play Oregon in the regular season. I like Oregon as well. But Oklahoma, I love A&M. Now, I'm rolling a lot of dice with a brand-new quarterback. But Jimbo must love that guy. He didn't mess around in the portal. Oklahoma, A&M, Clemson, USC. Give me your four again.
This is the same.
Yeah.
Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Oklahoma.
Damn, we're winning it.
I don't know, man. I'm telling you, I like the Spencer Rattler because he's got the experience.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess Oklahoma's trying to play a little defense now. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. They've changed their team a lot. Let's take a break here. We'll come back, get Coach Spurrier on for a couple minutes, find out everything going on with the restaurant. It is really close. And throw some things. I want Coach to talk about Terry Donahue, too, a guy we lost, and we just talked about him, the former UCLA coach who passed away this week at the age of 77. We'll take a break. Come back. More college sports today on the other side.
All the good vibes we've had, we laugh again. All the good vibes we've had, we laugh again. Taste the islands and every drop of Vida de Luis tequila. 100% blue agave from Tequila, Mexico. Good vibes.
All the good vibes we've had, we laugh again. All the good vibes we've had, we laugh again.
Me and my boy Matt had it good. He had catnip that was off the hook. But one day, he brings a girl home, and she's allergic to cats. Every sneeze was a nail in my coffin. Now I'm in a shelter. It's decent, but they don't even have Wi-Fi.
Hey, look, it's those guys. Are you good to drive?
I'm fine.
How many did you have?
I should be fine.
You should be?
Go and step out of the vehicle for me.
See ya, buddy. Good luck.
So turns out, buzz driving and drunk driving, they're the same thing. And it costs around $10,000. So not worth it.
I don't remember how it started.
North of that.
Our back and forth. It always came back.
Dad!
You probably don't remember what you told me.
That was perfect.
But I heard every word.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there. What about jobs? No? Now try your closet. Still no jobs, just more stuff? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? I can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs.
We're looking for all type of restaurant people, managers, servers, bartenders, hosts, cooks, dishwashers, bussers. If you think you're good in the restaurant business, then give us a call.
Spurrier's Gridiron Grill job fair is open now. All you have to do is go to spurriersdraft.com and fill out an application.
We're looking for the good team members, and we're looking for people with a wonderful attitude that can make Spurrier's Gridiron Grill the best we can possibly be. To apply, go to spurriersdraft.com.
Hey, Sam, you better hurry up if you're ready to get a job at Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. They are filling it up and ready to rock. We'll talk about that in a moment. Thanks to all those great sponsors you saw a moment ago helping us keep this show rocking and rolling. Got a brand new sponsor you see right in the middle, J.B. Coxwell Contracting. I'll tell you a lot about them as we go. You know our tequila. I saw Vita de Louis on the shelf at Spurs the other day. I was ready to order it up. Our two great seafood locations, Crescent Beach and Mayport, the locations of Safe Harbor Seafood. Cider's Orchard Bar, one of my favorite hangouts. All the great sponsors that make our show tick. As we promised, Coach Spurrier joining us now. Coach, Shane and I, number one, welcome. Shane and I had about a 5 or 10 minute discussion. We're about 1 week into this whole name, image, likeness. It's rolled out. Some people are making some players are making some money. What do you make of it? Is it too early? What are your thoughts on this whole first week?
Well, it looks like it spread all over the country. It hadn't taken long. The one part about it is the universities are still bringing in tons of money, as we know. So that hasn't been cut or sliced at all. And this is all outside income. So it made it, you know, one player may make $1 million for it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I remember one time when I first signed with the Washington team to be their coach, when Snyder and I had pretty good friendly conversations, he said, you don't have to pay the players in college, huh? I said, no, they get just scholarship.
Yeah.
This is before they did that cost of allowance.
Remember that? Yeah, sure.
Yeah. And I said, no, they just get a scholarship. He said, man, just think how much money we can make if we didn't have to pay the players. you know, it is what it is. College athletes bring in tons of money, and if they can make outside income, I think it's, it's a free country, and it's going to keep going. Now, are some schools going to make it more advantageous for kids to make money? I guess we got to wait and see how all that plays out. But it's not going to take away from the money coming into the university.
Doesn't appear, yeah.
So it's it's a free country, as they say.
Ooh, just seems like from a coaching standpoint, just a lot of more stuff. You just kind of need to keep an eye on, or have somebody keep an eye on it for you, and come in, give you a report, say, Coach, we're doing this right, or we're not doing this right, or we need to talk to.
I think what the coaches and the university has to do is just let everyone know now this has to occur on your time. You can't miss class or practices to go do a commercial or sign autographs. Yeah. So, but you get a day off. Every board has a day off a week. So maybe that's the day they go do their outside income stuff. Right, Shane?
And Shane and I were talking. The quarterback at Miami King and probably the quarterback at FSU, Milton, they've got a deal together. They've got kind of a together deal. Yeah. And I know when the NFL guys, when those games end on Sunday, I know fans hate when they see their favorite player giggling and cutting up with the other team's favorite player after the game's over. Well, you know, these guys are going to talk when they get together after the game. They're business partners. their business partner.
I remember in pro football, I used to say when the game's over and the guys shake hands, they're all laughing. You don't know who won or lost. In college, at least you know who won or lost, because the loser sort of got his head moped around a little bit and the winner smiling. And it may turn into pro football there. Everybody's laughing after the game.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I don't think those fans are going to like it. The guys, got a couple of Facebook Live questions I want to throw you guys away. One is just a statement. Joe was kind enough to say, if Florida's going to run the table, he thinks they got their speed back to the Gators. Ted asked an interesting question, and this is in the news this week. Ted says, guys, would you ask Shane and the head ball coach what their opinion is? Should Reggie Bush be reawarded his Heisman Trophy? You know, that's in the news this week. And Shane, is that spurred because of the NIL?
Yeah, I think.
Saying, hey, man, he didn't do anything that wouldn't have been legal now. And there's talk about that.
He's a Heisman. He votes on that stuff. So what do we do?
Guys, there's talk. Maybe look back and they should give him his Heisman back that they took away, right?
Well, I guess they're talking about that. And then, of course, Georgia, their wide receiver, did something and got $300.
Yeah.
And with Cincinnati. What's his name?
Green.
Yeah,
Green.
AJ Green.
Several years ago,
South Carolina kid that went to Georgia. And should they forgive him and all that? But, you know, the rules are the rules. Mm-hmm. Just like
at the time, yeah.
Just like our sprinter, young lady that smoked pot.
And you, Richard.
You know, you can smoke pot and play in the NFL now. It's not that big a deal, but you can't and run track. It's just an Olympic rule, and you got to live with it.
Yeah.
Well, I heard somebody talking about, you know, if Reggie Bush gets his Heisman back, does the 90 team get their championship back? Is the 84, 85 team?
Yeah, I think I want to give credit. Might have been Dooley or somebody here wrote a little article about that. Said, hey, wait a minute. Now they start handing stuff back retroactively. You know, if that damn Gator team deserves that hardware and, you know, the 90 Gator team and the 84 Gator team, you know, should they officially be given if they're given Heisman's back and stuff like that? It's interesting. It was an interesting point, but a lot going on. Coach, so I like your point a little bit. I'm not a fuddy-duddy, but with regard to Richardson, the sprinter, the international Olympic rules are what they were. I mean, that road outside may be, 30 miles an hour is too slow. That should be 45. Well, it's not 45 yet. So I don't know. It's a complicated questions. First, I want to back it up. I want to get back to you for a moment and have a little fun here. Another thing in the news from a week ago, I think it was three total NFL head coaches, including Coach Meyer, got fined. They got fined for, I think, too much contact. Your career, did you get fined much? You don't have to tell us any of them, but did you get fined much? Did you get a letter and sent up to your office and say you got in trouble for this or that?
Oh, I got in trouble, I guess, for bad mouthing a referee. One time against
you said a cuss word, Coach?
No, I didn't say a cuss word. I went to the media and said the guy cheated us. I'm coaching at Duke and we're playing NC State and the Peach Bowl. Before the game, I said, all our guys, if you win the game, we're going to invite you guys to Peach Bowl. It's been the first one since 62, 26 years. So we have a chance to go to Peach Bowl if we beat NC State. Well, we're ahead 43-40 and we got them 4th and 10. And we played two-man defense. So, anyway, our DB sort of pushed the kid at the line of scrimmage. He stumbled a little bit, stayed up, ran down the field. They threw it. We actually intercepted. Game over. You know, there's like 1 minute. We take a knee, and it's all over. And after the interception, referee threw a flag. I said, what in the world is this about? And he came back trying to say that our DB pushed him from the back. Which, pushed him from the side. I've never seen that call before or since. So, anyway. So they get a first down, and they kick a field goal and tie. And since they bring more fans than Duke would bring, they got the bid. NC State got the bid. So I told the media afterwards, that referee robbed us of a bowl game, which he did. And we had to settle for a tie. And I've never seen that call before or since. And that guy, I don't understand how that guy make that call at that time of the game. So Corrigan was the commissioner. And he said, I passed a rule. We're going to suspend the coach the next game for bad mouthing the refs. So I got to suspend you. I said, okay. So anyway, we played North Carolina the last game. And I had to sit in the trainer's room with the TV. And I could see sort of our stadium there. I could sort of see the game. And I couldn't use any live wires. This is the suspended coach's rule.
Okay.
He didn't say anything about a runner. So I had me a runner going up to the press box. Telling Coach Carl Frank to quit running I mean, quit throwing the ball so much. And he was calling a pass every play. But anyway, we came back and won the game 35-29 and beat the Tar Heels anyway. So nice. That was a fun, and I put the win and put it on my record.
Yeah, you did. Sure you did. So no monetary, like, fines, but yeah. You got a suspension.
Suspended.
And is that the only one?
Sideline.
Only one? Did you get any? Did you get many nasty notes from commissioner's offices? Just say, coach, could you back off on that? Or
I couldn't have looked my players down if I had a bad mouth that call. That was the guy robbed us of a bowl trip and a bowl game, and it might have helped us beat North Carolina the next week, though. So that's the only positive way I can look at it.
Was the SEC office? Would they send notes out saying, "Hey, coach, you know, or you guys got you got a little rough on that press conference?"
Yeah, they used to. Commissioner Slive and Commissioner Kramer would send some warning outs to us occasionally, but because sometimes we all have those little call-in shows on Monday, Thursday night, and I said something occasionally about some of those refs. So he'd give me a call and say, "You need to quit doing that." And I said, "Yes, sir, you're right. I got to." Saying things like that.
You know? Don't want to put you on the spot, but you were off set when Shane and I were going through the kind of a four team. Who we like? Have you had a moment to kind of think who are the four? Are they the standard four going into the college football season?
And here's what I think is going to happen this year. I don't think Bama's going to win. They could, but
nor do I.
I think they got a new quarterback, and I think maybe one of those other teams. They'll probably hit the final four, but I just don't think they will make the run this year. Did Oklahoma do it? It's going to be interesting to see how those new defensive guys they picked up in the portal.
And a bunch of them.
If they're dominant at all, they certainly don't have the offense to do it. And of course, Ohio State, they're supposed to be just as good. Clemson, you know, it's a new quarterback. He played pretty decent the one game he played when Lawrence had the COVID thing.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, it was, you know, Trevor Lawrence had to sit out the game. He was on the bench.
Yeah.
He was yelling and
yeah.
That didn't make sense.
No.
Did he have the COVID or is this tracing or something?
I think it might have been tracing.
Yeah.
But yeah, he was right there coaching away.
Yeah, he was. So anyway.
So, Coach, you and I have the same theory. I don't know what it is about Alabama.
Coach, he gave us four, though, did he?
Yeah, three or four.
I'm like Shane, probably those four, but maybe somebody sneak in there.
I
look for one out of the big four. I don't know who it could be. Maybe Cincinnati, maybe the Gators.
Yeah.
Shoot, maybe we'll get hot. Emory Jones may tear them up this year.
You never know.
Our defense may be a lot better.
Spinning off on Coach and I kind of – got the same feeling. Nothing. I love Alabama, what they do and all, but I just don't think they're going to – it's their year. What are your thoughts on Alabama, Shane? Bama.
I mean, they lost a lot of good players, but it seems like they do that every year. And, yeah, they have a new quarterback. But Bryce played a little bit last year, so he's got some experience. But, you know, everybody was worried about Mac Jones playing quarterback, you know. So he was pretty good.
Sure.
You know, we'll see. You know, the Bryce Young kid, he's not a pure passer. He's more of the Jalen Hurts. He's going to run around a little bit, make some plays with his legs. But Bama. But, you know, I do agree with you about A&M, though. The year they had last year I know they lost Kellen Mond, but I was never a big Kellen Mond guy.
Nor was I.
I don't even know who this kid is playing quarterback.
Haynes King is the guy's name. I really don't know much about him, but I know Jimbo, it doesn't appear he at all went into the portal, which tells me he likes this guy. He must like him a lot.
He couldn't get anybody.
Well, he couldn't get anybody.
But I think they had the best backfield in college football, and I think they had the best player in the SEC on their team in the ISC.
Yeah, bunch of offensive linemen, bunch of defense. They've got that kid that busted out in the Orange Bowl, Devin Achane, he's a sprinter. He's between Achane, Smith, and Spiller. I like A&M a lot. And Coach, Clemson, the big game with Georgia, gosh darn, I think Clemson's going to be Clemson, but, man, their schedule looks so manageable. Clemson's, if they get by Georgia, it looks like, that damn ACC schedule for them. I don't want to knock them, but it doesn't look too tough, Clemson's. Like they could roll.
I don't know. Who's the second best ACC team?
Notre Dame, Carolina,
Notre Dame's not in anymore.
Well, they don't count. They'll play five games.
Right. They're back independent.
They're a scheduling partner in football. Last year they were partner because of the 1 year rule. They still play their games. Who is, you know, North Carolina brings the great quarterback back, Sam Howell. Everybody loves him. They lost the running backs. Who is number two? I mean, Miami. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't appear like that conference has got a whole lot if Clemson can get by Georgia, if they don't fall asleep at the wheel, and I don't even know if they play North Carolina.
Has Clemson won that ACC 5 or 6 years in a row?
Yeah, it's got to be, right?
So, seems like it.
Right?
Maybe more. Yeah, we were talking about who can knock them out of the ACC championship, and I don't know who it's going to be.
Yeah. Then. Yeah. It's, you know,
North Carolina probably has got to get the chances in it.
Yeah.
But they haven't won it since 1980.
But I'm not sure who's on the other side. The Atlantic and the Coastal is nobody, confusing to me.
Nobody remembers. Nobody in the world. I don't even think ACC fans could right now say who's in the Coastal, who's in Atlantic.
Yeah, I don't have a clue.
Good Lord, look at these college guys. Nobody does. It's impossible. Coach, before we get out of here, a couple things. We lost what I thought was a real good broadcaster, good coach in college football this week. Terry Donahue passed away, 77. Real good career at UCLA. He was the right guy at UCLA, 76-95, won 3 Rose Bowls, jumped right into CBS, became the lead analyst for 3 years, and did all the big SEC games, including a bunch of yours, Coach. Obviously, way out on the West Coast. Talk about Terry Donahue a little bit.
I didn't know he's the winningest coach in Pac-12.
I did not either until he passed.
You figure John McKay at Southern Cal or some of those guys, sure. Johnny Robinson or something, but I guess they weren't there 20 years the way Terry Donahue was.
Yeah.
And I think he won 7 straight bowl games,
yeah.
And 3 of them were Rose Bowls. I remember reading that. So he had really an excellent, excellent track record out there at UCLA, and they haven't been –
Not even close.
Is good since he's.
And boy, didn't he fit that program? He just fit. He looked California. He was a good coach. He was. Then he got on TV. I thought he was really good on TV.
Rick Neuheisel says what happened. They sort of let their facilities just sort of sit there, and the other Pac-12 schools started building up. And of course, Oregon and Washington, especially Oregon, they say facility wise, they're number one in the nation. And that's why they're recruiting guys from all over the South now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, Shane and I were talking Dick Vermeil. We didn't look it up. Dick Vermeil was at UCLA as well?
Yeah.
In the 70s, right?
Yes. He was there just a few years and then went pro.
Then went to the pros. But I know what you just said about UCLA, the facilities, but shouldn't UCLA be better than they've been the last 25 years? Shane, shouldn't UCLA play better football?
You would think so, but as Coach said, if you don't put the money into the facilities, that's what, you know, a good brand of football, getting to the league, but having good facilities is what's important for these players.
And Lord knows, USC has got to be good for the Pac-12. Oregon and Washington have come along the last couple of decades, but boy, they could use UCLA. But big year for UCLA. Chip Kelly now, he thinks he's got a talent base now, and they turned it around a little bit. But yeah, what a shame. I really enjoyed Terry Donahue, and he did those 3 years. He was a CBS analyst right in the heart of the 90s when the SEC was going at it. He did 96, 97, and 98. So he did. You know, he was the lead analyst right there on your national title team and all those great, you know, Tennessee's national title team. I thought he was a real good coach. I know we tried to do an update before we get out of here. You just came up, I think, from the restaurant. I was there Tuesday. It's ready. It's now training, right? We are training and then we're opening.
Yeah, we have hired a sharp looking group of people. I'll tell you that. I made a short little talk to the group and just welcomed them to our Gridiron Grill. And let them know they're on our team now. We're all in this thing together, and away we go. So it was neat, and they ask a few questions here, there, and the other. So we got to know each other pretty well. And we're looking at, August 10, 11, somewhere
right
around there for official opening. But we got events going on between now and then. So just getting all the employees, that's been, the job the last month or two. And of course, everyone's having issues hiring people, but I really like the looks of these people. They listened to everything I said, so hopefully I wasn't too bored.
That was good, right?
Yeah.
He didn't always do that, did he? He didn't always do that.
Oh, yeah, he did. Let me tell you what. After I talked to him, this guy came up and he showed me the picture of the scoreboard after our first touchdown against Oklahoma State. The first game I coached here, he said, "Coach, I took this picture." The guy's about he's probably 55 or so.
Okay.
But he said, I was maybe a student or something. But, 13-10 was on the clock because we went 75 yards in about five, six plays, and no huddle.
Yeah.
So we scored within 2 minutes. And so he had the picture, 7-0 with 13-10. I said, "I've got that picture." I sent it to you. So it was neat to meet that guy from, 31 years ago.
Shane, obviously, you ran out on the field then.
you said five plays, go down and score. Coach, in a situation like that, season opener, new quarter, did you know the first play? Or did you just call it by feel when you got out, you know?
He called it, like, right before the game in the locker
room. Yeah, we're in the locker room, and I said, Shane, what do you want to open with? Because we're going to take the ball and go.
Yeah.
And I think so, what, a screen, maybe a draw or something, something safe. I said, no, that's going on the field. You're ready. We're going to tear these guys up. I told him, we're going to tear these guys up, didn't I? So he said, okay, we're going to tear them up. So he did. He hit his first three passes, all about 20 yarders. And they, you know, guys caught him and fell forward. We got on the 6 or 7.
Dexter McNabb.
Dexter, little one back sweep, and he went 7 yards for a touchdown. Oh, we had a heck of a team.
Yeah.
People don't realize how good that 90 team was. All they needed was just the mental part of somebody saying, you guys are good. Now play like it. And once they knew how good they were and came to the ballpark, they really played like it.
And obviously you guys were good because, I mean, that wasn't a cupcake. That was Pat Jones and Oklahoma State, and they were a respectable program.
Yeah, Pat.
To run it, mister. Every time I ever talk football with this guy, Coach.
I didn't say
he wants,
didn't say
he wants to throw,
I said throw a screen or something. I mean, hell, so I hadn't taken a snap.
He always says throw it down the field, Coach. Every time I talk ball with him, throw
I do
it down
now. Me. I do now. I love to throw
it. You wanted a little sissy swing. What'd you want?
Yeah, I just wanted to get a completion and get going, you know. I knew we were going. Worst thing you do when you're in a 2-minute drive is throw an incompletion on the first play. I always get something completed and get the drive.
Were y'all hustling? Were y'all up tempo on that five plays? Go.
Scored. There's only 13-10 left on the clock.
About 1,000 degrees out there.
Yeah.
Hotter than hell. And off you went. Won about 50-7, didn't you? Something
like 1 minute and 50 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
And off you went. Off you went. So.
Yeah, it was Pat Jones,
Oklahoma
State coach, after the game. He came by, shook hands, and said, Coach, you guys got a hell of a team. And I said, I know it, but the nation doesn't know it yet.
Mm-hmm.
They will after we play a few more games. So we weren't ranked in the top 25 going into that game. And
really?
12 years later, we were still ranked. So we after that game, we were ranked in the top 25 for 12
years. I'm not a total. We'll get out of here, I promise. I know we need to all get going. But I know I think I told you guys this story. That Thornton Blue game going into that season was the one in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Yes. So I'm at the game. No one to blue game messing around. And I'll never forget, after the game, I'm sitting there with some buddy. We're chit-chatting outside of the stadium. And somehow we're just chit-chatting. And I get talking to a guy. And come to find out, he gets talking. And he was with the Oklahoma State football. So he was at the Scott, and we get chit-chatting. We're just getting talking ball and get mm-hmm. talking, and he didn't have anything on, but he he said, hey, man, I actually work with Oklahoma State, and I'm kind of looking around. I said, all right, well, what'd you see? He said one word, speed. He said speed, and he said, I'm scared to death. He said, that was his one word. He said, I got to go back. I said, what are you going to go back, and what's your report? My report's going to be one word, and he said speed. Coach, you say we're scared to death after watching that game, that little orange and blue game.
Yeah, they had a pretty good year, I think, the year mm-hmm. before.
Sure.
2 years before that, they had
Barry Sanders and the boys and
Thurman Thomas.
Thomas and all them guys.
That's right.
Good.
This year, too.
They were good.
That's right. Barry Sanders and Thurman Thomas, those guys played there. But we were 12-point under favorites, and I remember our local sports editor, Jack Heston. He said, I think we're going to win, but I don't see how we can cover that 12-point spread. So,
you guys weren't ranked in the top 25, really, going into that.
No.
And I guess coming out of that ugly bowl game.
What was the previous record?
Yeah, I was going to say the ugly bowl game. And remember the bowl game against Washington? It was just a disaster. I guess Coach Darnell was just holding it together. It was a mess. So I guess that was it. But how about that? Your first game was not ranked in the top 25. Well, I'm done, guys. If you got, Coach, are we missing anything we need to get to, or anything we need to get to?
No, I think that's pretty much it.
That shirt you've got is so gorgeous. Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. When I was over there the other day, they're going to have merchandise and stuff for sale. Mm-hmm. You can get you a good looking shirt. That's a good looking shirt mm-hmm. right there now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. We briefly talked about the Mississippis.
Yeah,
Ole Miss women golf won the national championship. And then Mississippi State baseball.
How about that?
Won the baseball. first national championship for both schools.
Yeah.
In any sport.
Well, Ole Miss claims those national titles like Alabama claims.
Yeah. About a million of them. Yeah.
Outright. Supposedly, they didn't have an outright one all by themselves. Yeah. So, but anyway, it's interesting because they got rid of the Confederate flag a year and a half ago or something like that. So the good things have happened to the state of Mississippi since the flag was removed.
Have you thought that? Your son Bubba's on the Mississippi State football staff. Mm-hmm. A little pressure now in football. Baseball brings that big crown home. Football says, man, we got to win some games.
They're realistic, though.
They're having a good recruiting class right now. I know it's early and the guys haven't signed yet, but I think they may be in the top 10, 8 or 9, nice. Something like that, whatever that means. I don't know.
Let's get out of here, guys. Today, 50 days until college football. 50 days from today when we get back together on Monday, it'll be under that. Thanks to these two guys, of course. Of course, Evan Miller, our producer, as well. We'll get back together Monday, 11 a.m. for the next edition of College Sports Today.